Hello and welcome to the Senior Zone. I'm your host, Sean Perry, and we've got loads of good and useful and relevant information for you, our seniors, as well as their caregivers, this Monday morning. Thank you for tuning in to the Senior Zone, where it's our mandate to discover the topics and discuss the critical issues facing seniors today. We work to connect each senior to the programs, services, tools, and resources that we hope will impact, influence, and improve the quality of their lives. Why? Simply because we care. The calling number for today's show is 240-638-5430, or you can follow us online at theseniorzone.com. In the first segment of our show, and here to help us better understand the Medicare choices you have before you this enrollment season, which ends today, December 7th, and what you should consider before enrolling in a Medicare health plan, are our friends from MedStar Health. In our second segment, we talk with a special guest and first-time visitor to the Senior Zone, Congresswoman Donna Edwards, on the issues that matter to seniors the most. We're talking about Medicare, Social Security, cost of living allowance, prescription drugs, transportation, housing, and so much more. But before we begin, we must thank those that keep us doing what we love to do. And first up is AARP Legal Counsel for the Elderly. Legal Counsel for the Elderly provides free legal advice, assistance, and referrals to all district residents 60 years of age and older. So whether it's wills, power of attorneys, landlord-tenant disputes, estate planning, and so much more, LCE is there for you and at no cost. They can be reached at 202-434-2120. Next up is the D.C. Office on Aging under the interim leadership of Laura Newland. They develop and carry out a comprehensive and coordinated system of health, education, employment, and social services for the district's older adults, persons living with disabilities, and their caregivers. The D.C. Office on Aging, they can be reached at 202-724-5622. That's 202-724-5622. Right at Home. Right at Home is the leader in the in-home senior care industry. Their trained caregivers provide the best in-home care for seniors and disabled adults who need some assistance to maintain their independence. So if you're looking for the best in in-home care, either for yourself or your loved one, give Right at Home a call at 301-255-0066. That's 301-255-0066. Last, and certainly not least, is MedStar Medicare Choice. MedStar Medicare Choice is a Medicare Advantage plan led by the doctors and nurses that you already know and trust. MedStar Medicare Choice makes getting care simpler for you. The Medicare Advantage plan gives you access to quality service and value of MedStar and their partners. For more information on the MedStar Medicare Choice Plan, call 855-321-3697. If this marks your first time tuning into the Senior Zone, or if you're a regular listener, we say thank you and hope this won't be your last time coming through. Tell a friend, tell a pastor, tell your neighbor. Check us out on Facebook. Let's just jump right into it. We have Mr. Matt Post. He's a senior director at MedStar Medicare Choice. Are you there, Matt?
I am. Good morning, Sean.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
You're quite welcome, and welcome back. We've been doing a series of these discussions over the last, couple of months now. Today does mark the last day of the annual election period, or open enrollment season for seniors to make their health care decision, correct?
It does, yes. So today is the last day. We've been going strong. Everyone remembers it opened back on October 15th, and it closes today on the 7th. And what seniors should know, at least the seniors that are in a Medicare Advantage plan, that after this enrollment period ends today at midnight, those that are in a Medicare Advantage plan, they can actually disenroll from that plan if they so choose and go back to original Medicare within the time frame of January 1 to February 14th. That's called the Medicare Advantage disenrollment period. After the 14th of February, they are basically locked in, unless they have a special election period until that next open enrollment comes around next year at October 15th.
So if I heard you correctly, if they made a decision by today, within the last couple of months or so, and they become dissatisfied with that decision for whatever reasons, and they want to switch, they can disenroll between, did you say January 1st, New Year's, and February 14th, what is that, Valentine's Day?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. January 1st to February 14th. And that's only if they're in a Medicare Advantage plan, and they can only go back to original Medicare. Mm-hmm. So they can get out of that plan if they so choose. They cannot switch from original Medicare into a Medicare Advantage plan, or switch from one Medicare Advantage plan to another. They're basically locked down there. But the CMS does give them the opportunity to disenroll if they're not satisfied for their plan for any reason. But they still have the rest of today until 12 midnight. You know, all the different plans that are available to them in this region will have their websites and their customer service lines open for those folks to access if they have any questions, as will we. So we urge seniors to give us a call. We have licensed representatives at our call center. We have a lot of information on our website that they can access.
Sure.
If they have, if they're close to making their mind up and they think they want to just go ahead and get enrolled, they can actually do that right on our website. It's secure as well.
Sure, sure. So, Matt, tell our listeners what makes the MedStar Medicare Choice Plan different. What does it offer to our community?
Well, you know, if you remember, I mean, I think most people are familiar with MedStar, the brand, and really MedStar is local. We are a nonprofit organization. We have, you know, eight different hospitals and just a trove of facilities, urgent care clinics around the region. It really is the highest, the largest in volume and the highest utilized hospital system in our region. And it's comprised of hospitals that are really the trusted hospitals that people have used for generations, you know, Washington Hospital Center, Georgetown, et cetera, all throughout Baltimore and in Maryland as well. So, you know, people are very familiar with us. We're not a large carrier. We're a provider-owned, physician-led health plan, local, and we think that we drive a lot of value in terms of what we do to keep our members healthier longer. So it's a pretty neat plan to be in.
Yeah, you know, what I am a little biased because, you know, I was treated at MedStar 3 years ago this time. I had a life-threatening issue and came through that. You know, I was blessed then. And, you know, so I started following, you know, that, you know, MedStar a little closer for some reason. I see them everywhere from their prompt care facilities. And they're very supportive of senior events and programs. And I see them supporting senior basketball leagues and health schools. Screenings. And that's what matters, you know, to me from where I sit in this chair, those that support issues that matter to improving the lives of our older population. So they seem to be a very vested partner here in the D.C. area.
They really are. You know, it's they're not a large insurance carrier that's going to pick up and move. Obviously, they're very invested, you know, with their hospitals and physicians. You know, most physicians that work, or a lot, I shouldn't say most, but most, many physicians in their practices are folks that have grown up here, gone to school in this area. It's just a great local organization. They're very philanthropic. They give a lot of money back into the community. I think last I heard it was over $300 million
wow.
that they've given back into the community. And they're all about, you know, population health and you know, really being on the cutting edge of offering healthcare that is tailored not only to all walks of life, but in regard to this program, they really have insurance products that are kind of married with gerontology programs that are specifically designed around the needs of the senior. So that's one of the areas that's so encouraging to watch these plans really help people that that need that help the most.
Sure. Well, Matt, I want to thank you for coming on the last 10 weeks, eight to 10 weeks, I guess, and just educating our population on what their choices are, you know, teaching us about Medicare Advantage plans and the pros and cons of making that decision there. But for folks that are still on the fence, have not made a decision, they have, you know, I guess about 14 hours or so to make, you know, that decision. How can they get in touch with you over at MedStar Medicare Choice?
Sure. So write these numbers down, folks. This is how you can get help. You can get your questions answered, and you can enroll if you so choose. So our 800 number is 855-321 855-321-3698. That's 855-321-3698. Or they can go to our website, and that's simply MedStarMedicareChoice.com. MedStarMedicareChoice.com.
All right. Well, Matt, I thank you so very much again for doing what you do. And in the meantime, I'm sure we'll speak later on. But have a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year if I don't speak with you then. And stay safe, my friend.
Thank you very much, Sean. You do the same. Thank you.
As MedStar, as Matt Post of MedStar Medicare Choice. Thank you, Matt. Up next, we talk with Congresswoman Donna Edwards. Birthdays and announcements are coming thereafter. For now, here is The First Noel by Whitney Houston, brought to you by AARP, Legal Counsel for the Elderly.
Money problems for several months and couldn't pay my rent. I explained the situation to my landlord, but he still says he's going to evict me. Is there anything I can do?
I gave out my personal information to someone over the phone who promised to lower my mortgage rate. I wish I hadn't fallen for that trick. Does that mean I'll lose my house?
Sadly, not having the resources for representation is a common reason many seniors are unable to protect themselves. For 40 years, Legal Counsel for the Elderly has been providing free legal services for D.C. seniors who can't afford their own. If you or someone you know is a D.C. resident 60 or older who needs legal help, please visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly. We're here to defend the rights of D.C. seniors because everyone is entitled to lawful benefits and fairness in the justice system. Visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly is a nonprofit charitable affiliate of AARP.
Good morning. We are back, and this is the Senior Zone. I'm your host, Sean Perry, and with me on the call, on the line right now, is Congresswoman Donna Edwards. Are you there, Congresswoman Edwards?
I am. Good morning.
How are you doing, ma'am?
Doing great. Ready to talk seniors.
Let's rock and roll, but I must properly introduce you to our listeners, if you will. So give me a few minutes, Ms. Edwards, or Congresswoman Edwards. Congresswoman Edwards is a Democrat. She is a U.S. representative for Maryland's 4th Congressional District. The district includes most of Prince George's County, as well as parts of Anne Arundel County. She is also a lawyer and longtime community activist and the first African-American woman to represent Maryland in the United States Congress. I would also be remiss if I didn't mention that she is also currently running for the United States Senate to replace longtime Maryland Senator Barbara Mikulski. How was that, Congresswoman
Edwards?
That
was great.
Was that
Thank
good?
You very much. It's great to be with you. Excellent.
Absolutely. Well, if you can, before we get into the issues that matter to seniors the most, Congresswoman Edwards, tell us a little bit about yourself and actually what you did before you became a congresswoman.
Sure. And, you know, I represent a congressional district over in Prince George's County. I live in Oxon Hill, where I have lived for about 30 years. I've raised my son. He's 27 now, so I'm very excited about that. I've raised him on my own since he was about 3 years old, where we lived over in Washington. But how I came to Maryland is because I grew up in a military family. My dad was almost 30 years in the Air Force, and his last duty station was Andrews Air Force Base. And so that is how I then became a Marylander.
Gotcha. And I've done a little research, Congresswoman Edwards, and your son, his name is Jarrett, correct?
That's right.
We have something in common. My son's name is Jarrett.
Well, you know, Jarrett is the name of an old Hebrew king. So...
Absolutely. We also have something else in common in terms of you're a military brat, but I'm a retired military person, and my last duty station was Andrews Air Force Base.
So you're retired Air Force?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am. Aim high.
Well, thank you. Aim high, and thank you so much for your service, too. It was a great, I don't know about for you, but it was a great life for us. I've lived in every single region of the country, and what I came to learn because of our military experience is that most people actually care about the same things and, you know, just go into a decent job, taking care of their family, their kids do better than they did. And I learned those things living all across the country and in different places around the world. And so I thought the military life was really great. My father was able to build a middle-class life for our family because of his military service, and it was great experience.
It was singularly the best decision that I've ever made, you know, when I made that decision to go into the Air Force then. But let's not talk about me. Let's talk about you. And if you can, briefly, before we get into the issues that matter to the seniors, tell us, why are you running for United States Senate?
Well, I'm running for the Senate because in my career in the House, I have been focused on how to improve the day-to-day lives of ordinary people, of working people. I come from a working family, and I know that my perspective, both as a single, as a worker, as a woman, as a Black woman and mom, it really helped me think about how to be a member of the House, and it's how I think about what we need in the Senate. Somebody who's getting up saying, how do we focus on bringing more jobs opportunities, not just some of our communities, but to all of them? How can we make schools work, not depending on the zip code that you live in? That shouldn't be whether a child gets to have a great education. How do we make certain that our kids can go to college and live a better life than we did? These are the things that have consumed me as a member of the House, and I want to focus on for all of Maryland families in the United States Senate.
Gotcha. Coming up next Friday, funding legislation to keep the government open is due to expire, as I'm sure you are well aware of. How are we looking on that front to keep the government open and funded and ready for business come next Friday?
Well, you know, I have to say, unfortunately, the really extreme right wing of the Republican Party continues to drive Even the new speaker, Paul Ryan, in his ability to, you know, just get things done for the American people. And so, you know, we want to make sure that as Democrats, we work with our Republican counterparts to make sure that we have spending that really reflects the values of all of us as Americans and that responds to our needs. And we certainly cannot afford another government shutdown. Maryland is actually still reeling from the Republican shutdown of a couple of years ago. And so we don't want to go through that again for our families here in our state, but also around the country. And I hope that the public, you know, that Ryan is going to be able to shove aside 35 or 40 members of his party who want to do great damage and work with us as Democrats so that we can spend appropriately for the American people.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed that at the very least the government stays open and ready for business come next Friday. But let's jump right into some of the main issues affecting seniors and at the federal level. I know that you've been on the front lines of protecting, but not only protecting, expanding Social Security and Medicare. If you can, tell us, why is this fight to protect and expand Social Security and Medicare so important for Maryland seniors as well as future generations? And how do we get Republicans and some Democrats to get on board? To not only fix Medicare, but to not cut Social Security and Medicare.
Well, you know, for me, Social Security and Medicare are a bedrock principle, not to the Democratic Party, but a bedrock American principle. It's the idea that you go to work, you contribute to Social Security, and then at the end of your working years, that you're able to live in a retirement that's nothing fancy, but enables you to continue to meet your needs towards the end of your life. And you know, what I fear that not only Republicans, but some of my Democratic colleagues want to cut Social Security and Medicare. They will do it, you know, to create a budget deal. Well, who wants to do a budget deal off the backs of seniors? That's just not acceptable. I think that we can actually not only expand Social Security and Medicare, expand the benefits that we provide, but the reason it's a bedrock is because most of us don't have private pensions anymore. We don't have 401k plans. Well, many of us lost those in the Great Recession. And so we depend on Social Security at the end of our retirement years because it's an earned benefit, because each one of us contributes into that Social Security trust fund. And I believe that we have a responsibility for future generations. And so just as the generation prior, I'm working today so that my mom can receive that benefit. My son works today so that his mom can receive that benefit. It's a contract that we have among generations. And, you know, there's an easy fix to make sure that Social Security is solvent. And that means to lift the cap on Social Security, to make sure that we actually even apply something like a cost of living index that actually reflects the expenditures that our seniors have so that they would be able to get a cost of living increase, which they're not receiving this year. And so I'm very concerned about that. And I know what Republicans want to do. They want to privatize Social Security and Medicare. But I also know that we have to be on guard for some Democrats who are falling into that trap as well.
And we're going to talk about COLA as well as privatizing Medicare shortly. But for only the third time, Congressman Edwards, in 40 years, Social Security recipients, as you just mentioned, won't be getting a cost of living adjustment in their monthly benefits. And each of those three occurrences have been within the past 7 years. With that being said, I understand that there's a bill before the House, H.R. 4144, also known as the Warren-Duckworth bill, which will give Social Security and VA beneficiaries a one-time benefit of $581. This, of course, will help offset that premium increase for Medicare for nearly 30% of recipients. What's your position regarding H.R. Bill 4144?
Well, it was just introduced this last week, and so I'm looking at it. I think that, you know, it's appropriate for us to do something that's a one-time fix. But you know what? We need to fix the problem permanently. And one of the ways that we can do that, which I have long advocated and supported in legislation, is to change the cost of living, the cost of living indicator that makes it, where you use it to make the determination about how much to raise Social Security, that we make it tied to what's called the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, for the elderly, because it takes into consideration things that elderly people, that senior citizens spend their money on, things like housing and food and things like prescription drugs. And if we did that, seniors would actually get an increase permanently in the cost of living as it's calculated every year. And so I'm in favor of what we need to do in the short term to fix this problem that we had this year and a couple of years before. But what we need to do is to put in a permanent fix that actually expands benefits and then protects seniors against cost of living increases for the things that they spend their money on.
You would think with COLA, that's the cost of living adjustment tied to the consumer price index, and it dropped this past fall, 0.2%, that in theory that the cost of living for Americans would go down. But that's not the case for seniors because healthcare, as you mentioned, healthcare costs, are rising, and seniors are on a fixed income. Most seniors are on a fixed income. So any rise certainly has a negative impact on their ability just to sustain their current lifestyle. So You're proposing not tying COLA to the CPI? Is that what I'm
No. Hearing? What I'm proposing is tying it to the appropriate CPI. There are a whole bunch of different ways that you calculate the consumer price index. But one of the ways that we need to use that we're not currently using to calculate the index for seniors is what's called CPI-E. And if we did that, we would be looking at the basket of things that seniors actually spend their money on. Seniors spend their money on health care costs, on prescription drugs, on housing. And if we just use those things to calculate the cost of living, seniors would actually get an increase. Even in today's economy, they would get an increase. And the reason that they're not seeing that increase now, and there's a fiction that the cost of living hasn't gone up, it's gone up for seniors. It just may not have gone up for all of the rest of us who are buying flat screen TVs and stuff. So we need to use the appropriate index for seniors, and it's the CPI-E. And if we did that, our seniors would not have seen, they would see an increase in their cost of living adjustment. And gotcha. So I want to do that as a permanent fix, even if we do something in the short term that fixes the problem for this year.
Well, when and if that happens, Congressman Edwards, please keep us enlightened and behind the CPIE and what we can do to rally behind that as well here on the Senior Zone, because I'm all for maintaining and even expanding the quality of life for our senior population. But for the sake of time, I want to play a game with you if I can. I call it my for or against game with respect to strengthening Medicare. Just let me know if you are for or against. One, changing the way Medicare pays for benefits.
Four.
All right. Got you on that one. Raising the Medicare eligibility age to 67.
Oh, no. Against.
No. Can you, I'm going to stop it. Can you say why? Give us a reason why not?
Sure. Because if we raise the Medicare eligibility age, talk about the senior who may have worked, kind of all of their life in a really, really difficult job. Maybe they worked in construction. How fair is it to raise the eligibility age for somebody who's worked that hard? We can actually expand benefits for our seniors, and we don't have to do that by raising the eligibility age. We can actually do that by making sure that we do things like lift the cap on Social Security that then creates the ability for us to pay for Medicare benefits that aren't based on raising the age. I mean, our seniors have worked really, really hard. I think they should be able to qualify for those benefits at an early age, and then make certain that they retain those benefits and that we grow those benefits over time.
Gotcha. Raising the Medicare payroll tax.
Raising the Medicare payroll tax. I would say against, and the reason is because what we can do to actually increase the amount that we're contributing to Medicare and to Social Security is lift the overall tax on people. Say, for example, Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg. Why shouldn't they pay into the payroll tax system on all of their income? Instead of just the same old people who are getting older continuing to pay in. And so I'm in favor of a system in which we lift that cap on Social Security, and then we are able to expand benefits and protections for our seniors.
Gotcha. Raising Medicare premiums for higher income people.
No, you know, the way I think about this is that Medicare and Social Security are one of these systems where we basically are on a level playing field. And part of that level playing field is all of us paying in. And this is why it's unfair for us only to pay in. You know, so I'm a member of Congress. I make $174,000. That's public record. Why shouldn't I pay Social Security and Medicare on all of my income instead of just at $121,000? And in this way, again, if we do that, we're able to expand benefits and protections for all of our seniors.
Gotcha. I'm going down the game here, down the list here. Changing Medigap supplemental insurance and the way that's performed and operates. Changing Medigap and supplemental insurance.
Well, we should make sure it's much more affordable, and that it also reflects the things that seniors are spending their money on. Mm-hmm. And right now, you know, for a lot of seniors, that supplemental insurance that they have to buy and pay for is increasingly expanding in cost.
Certainly is. Redesigning co-pays and deductibles.
You know, I mean, in theory, we should have a system where most of your needs are met through the costs that are already in the system. And so I'm not in favor of increasing co-pays for seniors. We can make it much more affordable, as I said, by expanding the protections and the benefits, and that would include reducing co-pays.
Gotcha. Well, that's the end of that particular game, Congresswoman Edwards. I just wanted to get you on record, you know, for your positions there. Next year, it's likely that the new House Speaker, Paul Ryan, will ask to privatize Medicare. Looking into your crystal ball, what do you anticipate the environment to be like in the House on this particular issue?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Paul Ryan has tried that. He tried that before with his various budget proposals. We stopped him then. I think all Democrats need to get out and vote and make sure that we have a Democratic Senate and have strong numbers and even a Democratic House and a Democrat in the White House to veto anything that Paul Ryan would put forward. You know, look, there is a mythology out there that somehow Social Security is becoming insolvent. It is not true. And the way to protect the long-term solvency of Social Security is not by raising the retirement age, and it's not by requiring working people to pay more. It is by lifting the cap on Social Security and making sure that from Donna Edwards to Mary Smith to Bill Gates, that all of us pay out of our income into the Social Security Trust Fund. We'll protect solvency, and we'll make sure that we can expand benefits and protections for the long term for all of our seniors.
Gotcha. Let's switch gears, Congressman Edwards, and let's talk transportation. That's one of the sensitive issues for seniors, being able to remain mobile as they strive to age in place. How do we expand from a federal level, public transportation, to ensure that our communities benefit, but more so our senior citizens?
Well, this is a real challenge for us because, you know, for example, we just passed the transportation authorization just last week. And one of the things that I pushed for and we got into that authorization was more use of funds to develop transit-oriented development so that our seniors can actually live close to where transit is located and so that they have services and facilities available to them that are within a transportation hub. This is really important. Even doing things like making our roads and our streets much more walkable, more lighting and things like that that really protect our seniors. And then, of course, making sure that we pay for the kind of bus service that and other transportation services that seniors need to get them to and from, you know, medical appointments and to the grocery store and to pharmacies and the things that seniors are doing. And then lastly, I would say we have to make it easier and more comfortable for seniors to be able to stay in their own homes and to have housing that's adequate to medical and physical needs. And I believe that we can do this by tying transportation to housing to development.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just at a Montgomery County Summit on Aging event last week. There, the World Health Organization designated Montgomery County as an age-friendly county. Prince George's County is already there. Washington, D.C. is striving to get there by 2017. As our U.S. Senator, how would you make, and I know you just talked about it again, but if you could summarize again, how would you make Maryland the first age-friendly state?
Well, again, I think that we have to connect, you know, stop operating in isolation and connect transit and transportation, housing, and access to commercial services. And so when we do that, we can have development that takes place in a context that makes sense for seniors so that seniors are able to still be mobile, getting around and walking from their housing to the pharmacy, making sure that they are able to get successfully from their where they live to a doctor's appointment. And these are all things that are done in public policy, making our public bus system, for example, much more accessible for seniors during the time that they need, making sure that our streets are lit so that if seniors have to run errands, that they're able to do that safely. And I think when we think that, we have an increasingly aging population. In Maryland, over 58% of our women in Maryland are also, you know, receiving Social Security. They're over 65. And so as we have an aging population, we have to make sure that our living and our lifestyles are accommodated with our aging population, and we can do that with things like transit-oriented development.
Yeah, you know, and as you know, in about 15 or so years, you know, we will be much older than we will be younger. There will be more folks over the age of 60 than there will be under the age of 14 or so in the next 20 years as the baby boomer generations come through. And, you know, when we hear age friendly, a lot of folks think that has to do with seniors. But as we become a more age friendly state, county, city, whatever, it really applies to everybody because a safe street, a well-lit street, impacts everyone, just not a senior.
Absolutely, and not just that, but we also, even though we're aging, we're also more active than we have ever been. And so making certain that these kind of things are not amenities, but that they are part of the norm, benefits all of us.
Yeah. Real quick, you mentioned pharmacy before, which leads me to think about prescription drugs and some of the crazy stories you hear out there with drug prices, you know, costing, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of dollars for needed prescription drugs. What can you do? What can the federal government do to reduce needed but yet unaffordable prescription drugs, which is a huge financial burden for our seniors?
Well, I always believe that in our Affordable Care Act, that we shouldn't have let the pharmaceutical companies get away with the store. We should be negotiating prescription drug prices for our seniors and for our population. That would lower the cost overall of prescription drugs. Just this last week, I chaired a hearing along with Nancy Pelosi on prescription drugs and what the pharmaceutical industry is engaged in that's very anti-consumer in terms of raising prescription drug prices, really for drugs that have been on the market forever, things like amoxicillin and anti-arthritic medications and other kinds of drugs that are, you know, known quantities. There's no good research and development that's going on there, and yet prescription drug prices are going through the roof. And we held a hearing last week. I think my colleague, Elijah Cummings, is a ranking Democrat in on the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, is going to be making inquiries as well on his committee around insanity around prescription drugs. It's all about profit. And we should be, again, like the Veterans Administration negotiates prescription drug prices. And if we did it as the Department of Health and Human Services, we would significantly lower the out-of-pocket cost that seniors and all of our population are facing with prescription drugs. And it is the greatest driver right now in increases in health care costs. We've been able to tamp down on actual health care outlays, but we haven't been able to significantly lower prescription drug prices. That is the next battle that's ahead. That's a battle I want to fight in the United States Senate.
You know, I never understood why one arm of our government can negotiate prices, meaning, you know, the VA administration or the Veterans Administration, but yet not, you know, Department of Health and Human Services. I never understood why the disconnect was there.
Well,
that's at a level much higher than me.
The pharmaceutical industry stands in the way, and we need to defeat, you know, just like a lot of these industries are standing in the way of and lobbies standing in the way of good legislation. They stand in the National Rifle Association stands in the way of common sense gun legislation. The pharmaceutical industry stands in the way of common sense negotiation of prescription drug prices. It's time for consumers to stand in their way and get this done for the American people.
That's why we need to get out and vote. I want to open up our mailbag, and I already did, and we have a couple of questions from our listeners because I reached out to our listeners, and if we still have a few minutes, Congressman Edwards. And here's one question from our listener: we all know that health issues progress as we age, but some threaten and worry us more than others, such as Alzheimer's, dementia, and macular degeneration. To what extent is our government federally funding research for Alzheimer's disease?
Well, we're not funding enough research. I have been a really strong proponent of increasing the research capacity for some of these diseases. There are other diseases, things like, you know, kidney disease and diabetes, where we need more research. And what we need, and this is particularly true for communities of color, we need more specific research around treatment protocols that address those issues in different communities. And when you do that research, we're going to come out with better drug protocols. We're going to come out with better treatment protocols for these things. And we're going to come out with ideas about how we can begin to prevent some of these diseases that at the end of life are costing us as consumers so much money, not to mention costing us in terms of our quality of life. And you can only do that with research. Unfortunately, we are in a Congress with a lot of our colleagues who give a lot of lip service to the idea of doing research, or they'll put the right button or pen in for Alzheimer's day or month, but then they won't put the money that we need into the research that has to be done so that we can begin to find prevention for these diseases. And I will say this, that when it comes to our aging population, the more we invest in prevention, the more we encourage prevention in our early years, the better off we're going to be in the long term in terms of making sure that we have a healthcare system that's responsive and that has the resources we need to deal with some of these issues.
Gotcha. You know, we use the word care here on the Senior Zone, but, you know, here on the Senior Zone, care is not a noun. It's a verb. And, you know, without action behind care, it's meaningless here. So we're looking for actionable things that can be done to improve the quality of life for seniors here on the Senior Zone. And I appreciate your comments there. One more question from our listener. Specifically, what initiatives are you currently sponsoring or aligning with that will improve the quality of life and care for the elderly? Specifically, what initiatives?
Well, specifically, I'm a co-sponsor on legislation that would expand and protect Social Security and Medicare benefits. I am also, I told you I just finished working on a transportation authorization where we got some measures in to help with transit-oriented development, which I think will directly impact seniors and seniors' quality of life. I have been working on issues related to and supporting increased research funding to the National Institutes of Health for a number of these diseases and conditions that impact seniors. And I've especially been focused on expanding the diversity of the research that we're doing that impacts diverse populations, because we have a lot of health disparities when it comes to treatment, to disease treatment around diabetes, kidney disease, hypertension, that impacts Black and brown communities at much more significant rates, and we need more research into those communities. And so I've been supporting research in those areas.
Gotcha. Well, Congresswoman Edwards, I appreciate your time here on the Senior Zone. I do have one more question for you. December 1st was the 60th anniversary of the day Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on the bus. How did you acknowledge that day, and did you have any other reflections if you did not do anything out in the community but did something privately?
Well, I'll tell you, publicly, I did a number of tweets on Twitter around Rosa Parks, and not surprisingly, they were some of the top-rated tweets of the day on that anniversary. And part of the reason is because what we know in telling the true story of Rosa Parks, she wasn't just this quiet older woman who got onto a bus. She was a part of a movement. She was a change maker. She was an agent of change. And I thought it was important to tell her story as an agent of change, because sometimes people think that things happen by accident, and our civil rights movement was driven by change makers like Rosa Parks. I mean, she's one of my heroes because she was part of a movement that said we are not going to tolerate this kind of treatment anymore, and the kind of change we want is the change that happens in public policy. And so I love that. And we celebrated that all day, but I did have one of the top-rated tweets of the day in celebrating Rosa Parks.
Absolutely, and that was a purposeful destiny that she put us on course for 60 years ago this past December 1st. And I want to thank you for what you're doing within the community as well. You are an example for many African Americans, for many African American women, and I applaud you for what you have done in the past, being a champion for human rights and for just common folks, middle class, lower class folks, and being that advocate, you know, and voice for us within the halls of Congress. I want to allow you a couple of moments for any closing comments before I let you go.
Thank you. I really appreciate this time. And let me just say, you know, as a daughter of a senior, I think of the needs of our seniors all the time. And particularly, you know, our seniors who are aging in place but want to have a quality of life that really can make a difference for them and for their children. And so I'm excited to have been on your show today, and also excited about the future, because I think that we need leaders who have a perspective of having lived a life. And I bring the perspective as a working mom, as a worker, as a mother of an African-American young person, as the daughter of a farmer lady whose granddaughter made it good. And I bring that perspective to my work, and I think about it all the time. What is it that I can do every single day thinking about the needs and concerns of working people? And if I can hold that in my head, then I will get the job done.
Thank you so very much, Congresswoman Edwards. We'll have you back on the show in 2016, hopefully to talk more about what you're doing, if there's any changes along the way since this conversation. But I do look forward to having you back here on the Senior Zone. You are now a friend of the Senior Zone. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. This next break is brought to you by our good friends over at Right at Home. Birthdays and announcements in 5 minutes. Here is The Little Drummer Boy by Darin Hobbs.
To lay before the king. So to honor him, when we come.
Right at Home is a special kind of company for seniors and others who need care at home. We start with a full assessment of a person's situation. Then we create a customized plan and match up a caregiver.
We take them from disconnected to connected.
Our professionals help with basic tasks like preparing meals or medication monitoring. We provide support and transportation to doctor's visits and social events.
They become involved instead of uninvolved.
We'll take them where they want to go and help them keep doing the things that they enjoy.
With us, care is consistent, not inconsistent.
And every Right at Home caregiver is reliable, trained, and background checked.
So you can go from uncertain to certain.
It's the right care. Right at Home. Call Right at Home at 301-255-0066. We'll set up a free in-home consultation at your convenience. That's 301-255-0066.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
It is always my privilege and honor to acknowledge and wish our local seniors a happy birthday. And first up, we have Mr. Mario Clayton turning 87 tomorrow, December 8th, from Odington, Maryland. Happy birthday, Mr. Clayton. Miss Marilyn Murphy turns 61. She's not quite Social Security eligible, but next year she will be. She turns 61 tomorrow, December 8th, from Rockville, Maryland. Mr. Tomas Lee, 79, on Tuesday as well, December 8th, hailing from Northwest D.C. Happy birthday, Mr. Lee. Miss Maureen Belcher, 78, on Wednesday, December 9th, from Gaithersburg, Maryland. Happy birthday, Miss Belcher. Miss Maria Reese, she's a young one. She's the baby of the group today, 51, on Wednesday, December 9th, from Northwest D.C. Mr. Casey Snyder, 89, on Thursday, December 10th, from Silver Spring, Maryland. Happy birthday, Mr. Snyder. Miss Jeanette Hudson, 70, the big 70, on Friday, December 11th, from Southeast D.C. Mr. Andre Cologne, 65, Medicare eligible, on Saturday, December 12th, from Northwest D.C. Happy birthday, Mr. Cologne. Miss Allison Herrera, 80, the big 80, on Saturday, December 12th from Largo, Maryland. And last but certainly not least, we have Miss June Harper, 78, on Sunday, December 13th from New Carrollton, Maryland. To have your birthday or notable event mentioned here on the Senior Zone, give us a call at 800-217-1984. That's 800-217-1984. Or you can email us at info@theseniorzone.com. That's info@theseniorzone.com. In Senior Zone news and announcements, on Wednesday, December 9th from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m., the Bone Builders Program, yes, Bone Builders Program, presents Exercise is Medicine. It's a free presentation at the Holiday Park Senior Center in Wheaton, Maryland. The event will discuss health benefits of exercise and how to exercise safely. No registration is required. For more information, call 240-777-6534. That's 240-777-6534. This Thursday, December 10th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the 2015 Mayor's Annual Senior Holiday Celebration will take place at the D.C. Armory. There will be live entertainment, dancing, health screenings, safety and health information, immunization, food, giveaways, and exhibits, and so much more. The Senior Zone's Captain Fly will be the MC, Master of Ceremonies. I will be there as well. For more information, call 202-724-5626. That's 202-724-5626. Also on Thursday, December 10th, from 12:30 to 1:45 p.m., Prevention of Blindness Society presents a Lunch and Learn program. The event will feature tips and techniques to assist those with vision impairment and will take place at the Friendship Heights Village Center in Chevy Chase, Maryland. To register, call 301-656-2797 or visit www.youreyes.org. youreyes.org. There are many good reasons for seniors to enroll in a Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, otherwise known as SNAP. They are eating better, financial security, health, family, and so much more. To learn more about SNAP and apply today, go to benefitscheckup.org. That's benefitscheckup.org. The Senior Zone Midday Gala is next month, January 6th. That's a Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Chesapeake Beach Spa and Resort. I promise another good time of live entertainment, food, and dance. For tickets, call 202-351-7053, 202-351-7053. Again, to have your event mentioned here on the Senior Zone or to provide, you know, information or comments on today's broadcast or future broadcast recommendations, give us a call at 800-217-1984, 800-217-1984. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. We are out. I appreciate all that you do, and we'll see you next week here on the Senior Zone. Thank you for listening.
Be sure to join us on our next broadcast.
Until then,
live simply,
love generously,
care deeply,
speak kindly,
and leave the rest to God. Have a wonderful week, and God willing, the Senior Zone will be here for another informative and entertaining hour next Monday morning at 10 a.m.